Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. NFL Draft, it is 1 week from tomorrow. The first round, Thursday, April 25th, runs all the way through the 27th. Our zone coverage is brought to you by Ferguson Kitchen, Bath, and Lighting Gallery. With many locations across Tennessee, Ferguson is your destination for appliances, including the efficient Whirlpool connected steam wall oven. Plus Sprint and Ford, Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Admission is free to the public. Going to be a lot of fun. Some cool concerts. NFL Draft Experience in Nissan Stadium. Also, the Skirmerhorn Center will play host to Selection Square. Make sure you're here. Head downtown. Enjoy it. If not, check out all our coverage. Do both with 104.5 The Zone and Titans Radio starting next Thursday for the NFL Draft. With that in mind, we have Titans Radio's Rhett Bryan in the house. What's going on this morning?
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Good.
We're doing good, excellent, man. We're just excellent. Trying to decide. Well, since you're here, you know, you seem like a candy bar guy.
Oh, definitely.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
My Mount Rushmore, Payday, whatchamacallit, Heath, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. End of story.
Ooh, solid. Wow. Sounds pretty solid. Now, you guys, you and Coach Mack are doing the big board. You guys are going to have some interaction with some fans and everything else. Where are those located? What day?
You know, we actually have a couple of things through Jonathan Hutton's team, Hutton 104.5, to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee. There's a deal next Tuesday night at Greenbrier Distillery over by Marathon Music Works. That is Greg Cosell, Coach Mack. They're breaking down film from the Titans and Patriots game from last year and talking draft and stuff. And then we'll have a couple other things going on. But this whole deal with Coach Mack, he was so gracious to say, hey, you love this time of the year. You want to learn how we do it in the war room? I said, yeah. Are you kidding? Absolutely. So building that board vertically with talent and then looking at it horizontally and potting prospects with what we think grades are round-wise, where they should go. It is unbelievable how much we've looked at, learned. Together, I think we've looked at about 200 guys.
Man, before I let Mark go on his binge on answer all these questions, I'm sure. I wish Coach Mack was here, but because he's asking about an AAF player, and this is really about free agency, about who the Titans signed from the AAF. How much do you know about Logan Woodside, the quarterback, as well as the tight end, Keith? Was it Tobridge or something like that?
Yeah, and both of those guys had some time with the Titans last spring.
Uh-huh.
You know, Logan Woodside was a futures contract guy and was in this time last year in OTAs and those things. I don't know a ton about those guys because they didn't hang around long. They weren't there at the start of camp, I don't think. But, you know, obviously with Logan Woodside, you need an extra arm to get through camp. Mm-hmm. So that is probably a possibility with that part of things. Where he fits in the 90-man roster. But now I'll say this in relation to the draft. Don't be surprised if John Robinson takes a developmental quarterback in the late rounds like he did last year. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, I don't know, Mike. Well, hold on one more second. Another free agent that was in town, though, Brent Urban, I think he has a relationship with...
No relation to Keith.
Keith, and a lot bigger than Keith. The guy's 6'7", three bills plus, defensive.
6'7".
Yeah, he's a big dude. He knows Dean Pease's scheme and system, played for him in Baltimore. Wasn't surprised at all to see him come to town for a visit because he obviously likes, I think most anybody plays for Coach Pease likes him, but he knows the system, knows what they're looking at. And that's a place of emphasis, you know, is the D-line, you know, because, listen, Jarrell Casey's not getting any younger. Nose tackle to me is a big need in this draft or in adding another piece there because
it's a good time to draft a guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a big man draft, no doubt. But, yeah, Brent Urban, that would be a nice addition for them. He would.
I'm convinced, given the nature of the NFL, too, that Robinson's going to go D-line with his first pick, which brings up the dilemma with Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenally talented, might not be able to play this season because, you know, he tore his ACL. Do you think if they really like Simmons that much and, you know, he's got a domestic issue in his past where, but also Vrabel has spoken about he feels good enough about the locker room culture that he's not afraid to bring in guys who might be, you know, a little edgy or who might have, you know, a thing or two in their past because he feels like the locker room culture can accept that. So what I'm saying is the convergence of all those things with Simmons, topped by the fact that the guy is phenomenally talented. Do you think the Titans could accept a redshirt year from their first round pick if greater rewards were lying ahead in the future?
Well, I'll say this. First, John Robinson has said before he's not afraid to bring in guys who aren't quote unquote Boy Scouts. And you know, he hasn't really done a whole lot of that yet, but this would be a guy that you would consider in that. I think the thing with him and where he'll be torn in this, because I guarantee you he likes what he sees. If that guy was healthy, he'd be probably be a top five pick. But I think where it lies is, can you live with the fact that you might have a redshirt year for him when at 19 you really need somebody to help right now?
Blaine, you know, you and I have gone back and forth on a lot of different guys. But, you know, but I was thinking about this last night, and, you know, obviously, you know, sometimes there is a huge payoff. You know, the Cowboys, you know, did it. The Jags did it. And it's really worked out in both cases. But, you know, with your first round pick, it's hard to say, okay, he's not gonna play. But if you love Simmons that much, would you make that sacrifice?
I think it goes beyond to me, Simmons. It actually goes on where is my team at right now.
Yeah.
And I want to get in the playoffs right now. And that will determine that I probably wouldn't take him.
Okay.
It's for me personally, I don't know if they've ruined it that way. Unless he fell down there and he's really, I don't see me taking him. But I need impact now.
Well, I'd answer it this way. If he's sitting there at 51, I think you pull the trigger all day long.
51, but 51 is a different deal.
He's not going to be there at 51. No, he will be taken on night one by somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's different if you're in a rebuild mode and where you're maybe a couple years away. Yep, and it's like, well, you know, we can bring this guy in and get him healthy, and in a year or two, he'll be fine. I don't think where the Titans are right now. I mean, they're on the edge. I mean, you got to get somebody that can help
you. You mentioned the Cowboy. I mean, Jalen Smith, that was a flyer pick in round two a couple of 3 years ago, and look at how that's worked out. That's been great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Round two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, so I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going with the best player on the board. Is that the philosophy, actually, the Titans you think should have? I know you're saying that, you know, this is a big D-line draft. Everybody knows that, you know, big boy draft. But if you want immediate impact at the 19th position as their pick currently, do you go with the highest rated player regardless of the position?
I think you could go either one of those ways, Blaine. But I think it boils down to how has the draft fallen to you in those first 18 spots? Because if your top defender guy is not there and your second defender guy is not there, you know, in this potting process where you talk about these are my guys with a first round grade and they're all gone. And there are a lot of pundits that think, you know, the first round grades for these guys drop off right about 18 picks. So you're sitting in a no man's land there at 19 to about probably low 50s that are all the same grade type talent. So, you know, it just depends on the philosophy of the thing. I'm with you, though. I think they go defense with this first pick. Don't know if it's a nose tackle or whatever, but I would think that they try to have a pass rusher right there at 19.
But you think this is a deep draft for D-line, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so big man, period.
But right, big man. So with that philosophy, just tell me if I'm wrong, because you guys just said the total opposite is you probably feel like you can get a guy that's close to the same level of player at 19 in your second with your second pick. May not be as good, but he is borderline. This depends on, you know, what you're looking at as far as what's better or not for your team, that you can get a guy just as good in the second round. This is a deep draft, because my thought process is you want to wait. Since it's deep, you don't have the sense of urgency to take. Guess what? You can get that same guy in the second or the third round even. I'm just saying just in general. Since this is a deep draft with D-line.
Well, the one problem with all this is that if you look at a lot of the team needs.
You said it drops off at 18.
If you look at a lot of the team needs, edge pass rusher is one of them for probably 9 to 12 teams.
He's going
to
be there at 19.
Right. So that's what you got to think about.
Talking draft, talking NFL with Rhett Bryan, the executive producer of Titans Radio. What do you want to know? 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at WUZ1045. Mark's going to tell us about C Spire. Remind you, this is the Wake Up Zone brought to you by and powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
That's right. The C Spire tech movement is taking over the region, and because the Southeast and the Mid-South can't compete for for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So CSPIRE is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and the Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science. So CSPIRE is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, CSPIRE is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future is out there, and the CSPIRE tech movement is leading the way. Join the movement at CSPIRE.com/tech-MVMT.
The Zone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Putting together the draft board, Rhett Bryan and Coach Mack have, and Rhett is in studio with us, the executive producer for Titans Radio. Really interesting conversation. We have, of course, Dave McGinnis with us on Mondays. And I mean, you're talking earlier, Rhett, just about how deep of a dive it is going into all these evaluations of players. Man, that's a lot of stuff to keep straight.
I'm not sure I even have it straight at this right. point, but I got a week and a day. So, it's a lot of fun.
Real quick, tell us about the coverage coming up with Titans Radio next week.
Yeah, so next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday right here on The Zone from 6 to 7 P, we will have pre-draft programming from Titans Radio, and we'll talk to different pundits. We'll talk to talk about all the layout and the city itself and the league coming to town to do this. Thursday night, we will be aboard the General Jackson with 1,000 season ticket holders to do coverage of round one. We'll be on from 6 to 11 right here on The Zone. And then Friday night, same thing, and we'll be on from 6 to 10. And then we will be back here in studio on Saturday to cover the last rounds from 11 a.m. to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
But the General Jackson, it can't leave the shoreline because it's going to be plugged in for Titans Radio coverage, right?
Yes.
It's going to be wired.
That's the
He's
plan.
He's worried about an electrical disaster that will take out the power all over.
Well, the great plan is that if there's any inclement weather, we just go down on the hull of the boat. So it's all good there. But the weather plan for the draft is interesting. I looked at this. Davis Nolan from Channel 2 had a meeting with the Office of Emergency Management and the National Weather Service's Nashville office. And so the two things they're worried about is high winds and lightning.
Right.
High winds because of the stage. Mm-hmm. Lightning, 75-mile radius. If it gets within 8 miles and there's a strike, they will suspend the draft for a moment. They will ask people to go inside to the bars, go under parking garages, go back to their hotels, whatever. And then from what I understand, the draft will shift to Selection Square at the Skirmerhorn and continue there, regardless of whatever the weather does. But it's just like a game. They're looking for lightning and high winds.
If you're on the clock, are you still on the clock, or do they stop the clock until they get everything moved down to the Skirmerhorn?
I don't know that it's ever happened before, so I hope we don't have to find out. I'll answer it that way.
I always say for Titans fans, root for quarterbacks, and more quarterbacks. Coach Mack thinks, I asked him, what's your over-under for quarterbacks being chosen before the Titans, theoretically, if they don't trade up or down, go at 19, he thinks 3. And there is, it could be as much as 4.
Yes.
Because, Daniel Jones from Duke, and then you've got, obviously Haskins from Ohio State, who I keep hearing is falling a little bit. And, of course, Kyler Murray. To me, the X factor is Drew Locke out of Missouri. On one hand, you hear great things about him. On the other hand, the funniest thing I read, and I think it was in Locke and Forrest's column, is that people say he's got a personality like Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
But I've also heard from other people that say they spent time with him. They really like him. So, yeah. So I guess opinions are split. But in your mind, I know Coach Mack said 3. In your mind, could it be 4?
It could be 4 because, that's the one thing I've learned in this draft process with Coach Mack. there's the draft of all the other positions, and then there's a quarterback draft, and people reaching and grabbing for those. And I would not be surprised if it is four that someone takes Daniel Jones before Drew Lock. That would not surprise me. But I think Mac's probably right. Three quarterbacks, maybe a fourth. I think four. And I hope four, because like you, I just bumped somebody down to 19.
Yeah, you heard. Do you think a fifth quarterback sneaks in? You know, you heard things about Jared Stidham. You know, that was one out of Auburn. You don't think that's going to happen. Will Greer, probably.
I think those guys are night
Will
two.
Will Greer are mid, you know, maybe third or fourth round picks.
Yeah, they could be night two or early day three. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the other great question is, what if you've got like a Will Greer or, you know, a Brett Rypien, if you've evaluated him, you know, higher than the fourth round? What if the fourth, fifth round comes around and you've got a pretty promising quarterback out there? What do you do if you're John Robinson?
I think he takes a look at it. And I think the two guys that will probably be there in that neighborhood would be Brett Rypien from BYU, and the other one's Ryan Finley from NC State. I think either one of those guys might be somebody that he would look at. And you know, if you're sitting there in the fifth round at 157, you might pull the trigger on that.
Man, what's your evaluation of Finley from NC State?
He's skinny. He's got to get beef. He's, you know, that sounds fun. Yeah, it sounds ironic this week.
Oh, it sounds like something we're going to do right now. We're not doing that repeat.
He's,
we're not pushing repeat again.
6'3¾", 214, so he needs some weight. But there's a lot of intangibles there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I kind of like both of those kids.
Do you see the Titans drafting a running back? I know that's odd when you have two guys, you know, for sure that's going to be on the roster.
Well, and here's the thing about the running back. I think there's a chance. There's one guy in this draft that has a first round grade, and that's Josh Jacobs from Alabama.
He is
the only one, and he could actually, if enough big guys and quarterbacks are taking him round one, could slip to the top of round two. After him, it's anybody who wants to do anything. There's a bunch of dudes there, but there's some talented dudes that can do things in the modern day league where you can, you know, want to catch out of the backfield and you know, straight running or whatever. I think they would possibly look at a running back in the later rounds. And a guy I like is Travion Williams from Texas A&M. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can run. But there's a bunch of dudes after Josh Jacobs, whether it's the Montgomery kid from Iowa State or the Samuels kid or Saunders kid from
Harris.
Yeah, Damian Harris. And there's Miles Sanders from Penn State. I mean, there's a bunch of guys laying around there.
Oh, man.
The kid from FAU. Devin Singletary.
All right. Well, tell us the one guy, since you are a predictor, on who the Titans are going to take if it's a defensive end that you think is going to be available, or pass rusher, will be available at 19. That you think that realistically they have a shot, at least as of today, if everything falls and he's available, that's who you would go with.
If this young man is sitting there at 19, Brian Burns from Florida State. Really?
All right.
Like
give
that
us
guy.
A breakdown on Burns.
6'5". 253 right now. He's adding weight.
Oh, that's right. The long 4.53
in the 40.
Ooh, dang.
He's not as bendy as Harold Landry, but he's got some bend and flex to him. Good power rusher off the edge, and did nice things at Florida State. I like him a lot at 19. That is who I would really be rooting for at 19.
Oh, man. Now, let's tell us some guys that are probably not as rated as high as him, but potentially their upside could be as good as Burns, you think, that's after him rating-wise on your board.
Oh, as far as edge rushers?
Edge rushers, yeah. Because
I think after them, you know, you start talking about the Chase Winoviches of Michigan and Ben Banigou from TCU, LJ Collier, who I think is more of an inside linebacker, but it could be a pass rusher option there. There's some guys after that are in the next tier.
You have to think about who they would take in the second round.
I got a quick name for you. Drew Sample out of Washington, taken late as a blocking tight end.
Okay.
In the late round?
Yeah.
Okay. You can get a blocking tight end as a free agent.
I know.
That might be the pick you announce.
That's not a free agent.
I like Dawson Knox from Ole Miss. That's what I like.
Yeah, from BA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think he has a lot of upside. I think he'll be better in the pros than he was in college.
Rhett Bryan has tremendous upside. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Great stuff.
Glad to do it.
All right. That's Rhett Bryan, the executive producer of Titans Radio. And be sure to take part in all their coverage coming up next week of the 2019 NFL Draft from right here in the Music City.